This is Jerry Agar on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Good morning. Let's consider this. If you and I had the wherewithal to do a housing development, and we put an application in with the city of Toronto to get the yes or no as to whether we can go ahead with the housing development. According to the average, the statistics I'm looking at in the Toronto Star today, we would get an answer. We couldn't move a piece of dirt until we got an answer of yes or maybe no in May of 2025. I can't wrap my head around how it takes people at City Hall that long to get something done when the most urgent need I think this city has is housing. It just boggles my mind. Is there any sensible reason behind this? Some people are saying, well, we don't pay the city planners enough, and so we don't have enough of them, or something like that. Joining me now to talk about this is Mark Richardson. He's the technical lead for HousingNowTO.com. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
I'm well. Let's start with this. What's HousingNowTO.com?
HousingNowTO.com is a volunteer organization. We've been around since January of 2019, and we track affordable housing developments within the borders of the city of Toronto.
Okay, so you're only concerned about the affordable housing aspect of this, but I'm sure it all ties together.
Yeah, we affordable housing developers have exactly the same problem as for-profit developers. Long timelines and delays, and if anything, affordable housing developers are at greater risk because we can't raise rents. We can't, you know, if the costs go up, if the processes take too long, the projects just die.
Yeah, but I can't, it just boggles my mind to think that it takes 2 years and 8 months to decide whether a project's going to go forward or not. It's just, that just strikes me as nobody's doing anything.
Well, it's not that nobody's doing anything. We have 1,000 policies and no priorities. So the staff are trying to line up to all of the policies the city has created over the years, but nobody says, well, affordable housing is the most important thing, so we're going to ignore these other 5 policies.
Well, isn't this part of why they want to get, why Doug Ford wants to bring in a strong mayor system?
It's called Strong Mayors, More Housing, I think is what the act is called. I'm not really sure whether John Tory or whoever the next mayor is going to be is actually going to be changing line by line the policy, but hopefully he will be setting the priorities and clearly say affordable housing, purpose-built rental housing are priorities. These things go to the top of the pile, and some of the other studies and things you're asked to do are less important.
I wrote down the thing you said because I thought it was so brilliant. 1,000 policies and no priorities. And that's why, you know, we were joking yesterday on a panel I was on in the morning show about people sitting around at tables making decisions. And somebody said, well, nothing's getting done. And it was Matt Gurney who said, sure, something's getting done. They're sitting around at tables talking.
Well, so a perfect example for you in a real world affordable housing project here in the city of Toronto, Ian Underwood, who you might know, who's the CEO of Habitat for Humanity, uses this example a lot. There's a 6-story mid-rise building on a streetcar south of the Danforth for 33 units. The city has been talking about it for 6 years. It was first proposed in 2016. The first developer was a co-op who tried to make it go. They went through 5 rounds of site plan approval. Habitat took it over after the co-op couldn't make the math work. They did another 4 rounds of site plan approval. It's still an empty lot next to a transit station, next to a streetcar line. So it's 9 rounds of site plan approval and 6 years for 33 affordable housing units by a not-for-profit. That's how you kill a project.
Yeah, and I wonder if another part of it might be that some of the policies are that you have to have meetings with any neighborhood crank who wants to come and complain about it. Like, at some point, somebody needs to take charge, and the cranks can deal with it.
Not just the neighborhood cranks show up for the meetings. It only costs them $400 to appeal it to the province. We have affordable housing projects all around this city that are at the Ontario Land Tribunal, where one neighbor in a condo building is spending $400 because their view might be obstructed.
Well, NIMBYs.
Yeah. They're everywhere, right? And we talked in the past about shadow guidelines and angular plane guidelines and parking minimums and all of the things that get layered on to these projects that make them harder and harder to build as interest rates and construction costs increase.
I'm talking to Mark Richardson, technical lead for housingnowto.com, and we're taking off on an article in the Toronto Sun by Tess Kalinowski. Toronto isn't paying city planners enough. That's driving up house prices, some say. Is that the deal? We don't have enough planners, or do we have too many of them?
The city has, I think, about 470 roles for planners. Right now, 13% of them, so 62 of them are empty. 120 or another 25% of them have only been hired in the last 2 years. So 38% of the planning roles at the city are either vacant or are relatively new hires in those roles. And the city's own reports say that compensation, the public-facing elements of the job, and the cost of living are the reasons why they're having trouble attracting staffers to work at City Hall, where they can make more money in the private sector or have a less stressed job working in another municipality.
Okay, so working in another municipality would be one thing, but when they say there's not enough money, I mean, a government job is like the most safe thing an individual can have. You get a guaranteed salary. You're not going to get laid off even in a pandemic. You got a gold-plated pension plan, and you could probably retire before you're 60. I can't understand why people aren't clamoring for those jobs.
Because a two-bedroom rental apartment now costs $3,300 a month in the city. So sure, maybe you're making $70,000 a year working for the city, but you're paying $36,000 a year out in rent to live in the city. There's those kinds of jobs, that sort of government stability that you talk about, made sense when they were more in line with the cost of rent, the cost of owning a house. If you go and work for City Hall, there's no way you're ever going to be able to buy a condo in this city. Right, there's no way you're ever going to be able to buy a house in this city unless you're in a very high executive level role.
What we're talking about here is that if you put in an application for a housing development, which the city badly needs, it might be 36 months from now before you get approval, if you get approval, or you go through another round until the project dies, as Mark Richardson has just described. And you said 470 city planners, we really need that many of them?
If we're going to have 1,000 policies.
Okay, so the issue here...
If we have fewer policies, we may be able to manage the files better. If we had clearer priorities, we may be able to manage the files better. You had Matt on last week talking about the Heritage soy sauce factory.
Yeah.
We've talked for years about Heritage dry cleaners around the city. We've listed thousands of two-story commercial buildings next to transit stations as Heritage. We talk about shadow studies and urban design guidelines that don't necessarily make sense if creating new affordable housing is the city's number one priority.
I think the number was 1,912 applications to turn properties into heritage properties, and it's not a coincidence they were all in the locations they're in, because those applications weren't made because they are treasured buildings. They were made as a part of a NIMBY process.
Yeah, there's a couple of hundred of them along the Danforth where we're getting the new Ontario Line station at Tape and Danforth.
But these are policies that allow people to do that and put the brakes on what this city needs. So if there's a job for John Tory to take on when he gets reelected, which we're all pretty certain he will, it's not to start paying $200,000 to city planners. It's to start hacking down that list of 1,000 policies to something ordinary humans can deal with.
And to prioritize, if affordable housing is his number one priority, which every politician at all levels of government say it is, then you need to do things that are politically painful to make affordable housing your number one priority. You need to be willing to upset the neighbors.
Yeah, I saw a tweet from a guy who said there's development coming across the street from me, and I'm excited about it, and also excited to go to the meeting and watch people's heads blow up when I say I'm for it.
Yeah, 100%. We go to hundreds of affordable housing meetings, and a regular development meeting is pretty bad. An affordable housing meeting is usually a total gong show.
All right, Mark Richardson, technical lead for housingnowto.com. Thanks very much.
No problem, Jerry. Thanks.
This is the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
You're listening to Jerry Agar on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.